This We Love Telly podcast is a Mirror Digital production. Do you feel lucky? Well, you probably do since you've made the right decision to download this We Love Telly podcast. Hello, I'm Rob Lee, and this is the We Love Telly podcast. And joining me will be Radio 1 DJ Hugh Stevens, who's presenting this weekend's Sky Arts coverage of Bestival. We'll be chatting to him, among other things, getting inside Bjork's head and why he's such big mates with Bill Murray. We've also got soap legend Tony Stewart, who'll be discussing the parallels between Jesse Wallace's complicated love life and that their portrayal of Cat Slater's in EastEnders, as well as what's going to happen to Stella after she's been mown down by a car in Coronation Street. Plus, of course, we couldn't leave him out, and we're kicking off with Kevin O'Sullivan, who's got a few words for Simon Cowell about Red or Black, and they're not really complimentary ones. Oh, and he's talking about Celebrity Big Brother too, so let's kick off. For all of those that follow the Sunday Mirror TV critic Kevin O'Sullivan on Twitter, you've probably been aware of the concentration of tweets about Red or Black over the past couple of days. He just can't get enough of it. So Kevin, what kind of criminal are you hoping to watch maybe, maybe not win £1 million tonight?
Well, so far we've had someone who's done 2 years in jail. I'd be looking for someone with a much longer sentence, more of a spectacular jailbird. certainly... I'm enjoying Red or Black. The quality of the contestants make Jeremy Kyle contestants look like the upper crust, you know. I don't know where they got all these people, but they do not look like they're right out of the top drawer, to say the least. I mean, they are people who literally do seem to feel that their whole life is about to be turned around because they're going to win £1 million. Mm-hmm. And then when out of 100,000 hopefuls, they don't get it, they all burst into tears. It's pathetic.
But this is feel-good telly as well. You know, positivity is flowing everywhere. It's like Deal or No Deal primetime on steroids.
But it isn't really feel-good TV, is it? All we're getting is like these horrible little sound bites. It's like, you know, you've seen the sob stories on The X Factor. Here's a very quick sob story. Oh, I haven't got any money and my kid's not very well. Hope I win £1 million. Oh, I didn't win £1 million. I mean, it's ridiculous.
So is this how it breaks down in Simon Cowell's head these days? We've had the sob stories. Let's just get them through quickly and then you just finish them. He's like the Messiah. It's there, it's done, it's over.
Exactly. It's like a sausage factory of sob stories. It's like that. You quickly pack them up, shove them out there, expect us to give a damn, which we don't, by the way, Simon, and then off they go to win £1 million. This programme, Red or Black, you know, I don't have any bad feelings towards it. I like Anton Dett. I actually like Simon Cowell. Mm-hmm. I wish it was a success, but what were they thinking? There is... Look, congratulations to ITV. They have created the most compelling minute of television I've ever seen. For 1 minute, you see the ball going round the big wheel, and, you know, the guy's either going to become a millionaire or not, as we mm-hmm. saw last night. And that's it. The rest of it, until then, it is a complete and utter waste of time. So you get nearly 2 hours of total pointless boring padding, and they know it on ITV, and so do the viewers, because the ratings are plummeting.
Come on, Kev, don't sit on the fence. This is not the fault of Anton Dett, though, is it? I mean,
No, don't get me wrong. I have good feelings towards Simon Cowell. You might not think it, but I do. I think he's a good force for the... What am I going to say? Am I about to say Simon Cowell's a force for the good? I'm not sure he's that, but I like what he does on television. Everybody likes Anton Dett. I think they are our greatest television presenters, there's no doubt about it, in the field of entertainment. But all of them, all of our heroes here, are dealing with a dog of a television program. It is a terrible format. It just doesn't work. You know, why are there people... You know, and now there's a guy on a tightrope. He's going to get to the red box. Will the guy on another tightrope get to the black box? You don't have to do that. Just open the box. You know, why are we watching Jensen Button and, you know, driving around in a stupid go-kart? Why are we watching Lee Westwood and Rory McIlroy hit golf balls under the pan? It's just Red or Black. You don't need any of this, and the viewers can see it.
So why wasn't this flagged up at the planning stages at any point?
Just seems to me it's ITV. My view would be ITV are in such thrall to Simon Cowell that anything he says he wants to put on telly, they'll pretty much go ahead and do it, you know. And you'll certainly get a real kind of headwind of publicity about mm-hmm. any programme to do with Simon Cowell. So mm-hmm. on Saturday, we saw these pretty good ratings for Red or Black. Was it over 7 million?
Yeah.
7.2 million, something like that. By Sunday night, it lost 2 million. And I believe it's still falling. Funnily enough, the prisoner, the one that the Daily Mirror has on the front page, the first winner, who it turns out, you know, allegedly mm-hmm. beat his ex-girlfriend.
Yep.
I mean, this kind of publicity will kind of reignite a bit of interest. So, in a twisted and ironic way, the fact that the first £1 million winner is a wife beater may help the programme, and, you know, God help us if this is the kind of world we have to live in.
Well, Simon Cowell has always got a plan. Maybe this is his way of fixing broken Britain.
I think Simon Cowell will be wondering whether or not he hasn't committed a bit of a mistake here. I mean, you know, it's not true to say Simon Cowell doesn't know what a failure is. You know, we remember Greece. It's certainly not true that Ant and Dec don't know what a failure is. They've had quite a few flops. So you've mm-hmm. got this aura of success because you have the great Dark Lord, the Simon Cowell, and you have the wonderful, unbeatable Ant and Dec. But all three of those guys, they have tasted the bitter taste of failure before, mm-hmm. and they are tasting it in an agonizing way every night right now. It's just a very, very, very poor format.
But, you know, at least we've got to see Il Divo back on our screens, eh?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if Simon might get the chance to put a few more people from his record labels on to sing every night. I mean, every single night, it's like, and here's Leona Lewis. Oh, what label's she on by any chance? Oh, it's Pixie Lyla. Who's she to do with, I wonder? Oh, look, it's Il Divo, another Simon Cowell. I mean, it's so cynical and it's embarrassing. And also, if you get Leona Lewis up to sing that, you know, get her to sing a better song. What a rubbish song that is, by the way.
Well, Leona Lewis is very 2008, Kevin. We all know that. But
yeah, Yesterday's Girl.
From one embarrassment to another, Jedward have got Celebrity Big Brother all sewn up, haven't they?
Well, I think so, but I may be wrong. I've always thought Jedward were born for Big Brother. You know, this is their destiny, and I think that hidden in the voting classes for Celebrity Big Brother will be a vast majority for Jedward. And I've really enjoyed them, and I was pretty diffident about Jedward before they went in, but I'm a big fan of theirs. I think they've made this series very watchable. They've been very funny. Mm-hmm. They're strangely elegant. I said that in my column the other day. I kind of like the look of them. I mean, they're very odd.
They're otherworldly, certainly.
They're very strange. I'm not sure about their habit of bathing together. That makes me slightly uncomfortable. They are 19, for God's sake. But, you know, they're a good spectacle on telly, and they have made this series. Darren Lyons has made the series too, for mm-hmm. all the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kerry Katona, frankly, has been a massive disappointment. And therefore won't win because she's got an inbuilt reality following, so mm-hmm. she could have done better. And of course, Paddy, the travelling man that no one can understand, he is the dark horse who could easily do it.
Really, you think he's got a chance?
Well, there's a lot of money on him. He's certainly endeared himself to the nation. I think the trick is, if you're going to be on reality TV, it's best that people can't understand a word you say, then they don't have the opportunity to dislike you. So that's Paddy's a clever guy. He probably can speak perfect English, but he came up with his system of speaking unintelligible claptrap, and therefore he'll storm to victory. But I think it will be him. But don't forget, Amy's another dark horse, because Amy Childs, you know, is quite sort of frighteningly dim, and Big Brother fans just love morons.
But she's been too involved in this uninteresting fomance with Lucien, though, surely?
Yeah, I mean, forgive me, but I'm losing track of Lucien's faux romances. I mean, last week, until about Thursday, Friday, it was all about Kerry, which was a bit odd. He even, if you remember back to the beginning, he was lusting after Pamela.
Yeah, well, I don't think he can keep track. He probably just points his dick at somebody and then goes with it.
I think he follows the crowd. It's where his brains are. But it's not just with him that he's trying to drum up interest by having an on-screen romance. It's that he's just sort of terribly childish, and he just wants girls to fancy him. And
he's a randy little boy.
Yeah, but I don't think he's been very entertaining. I mean, no. As I say, I think Darren has been tremendously entertaining, but not in a good way. He's kept things going, you know, that's why I think he's been edited quite kindly to make sure that we didn't vote him out, because without him... Well, hey, listen, I was talking to Big Brother producer the other week, and he said, the people who stay in and the people who go out are directly down to us. You know, it's how they get edited. We all know that.
So your heart is with Jedward, but your head is with Paddy.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think Jedward are going to do it. But I'm just saying, if you wanted a good outside bet to bring you in better odds, a bit more money, I'd go for Paddy. And I wouldn't write Amy off. But I think I agree with you about Amy's faux romance. I mean, there's something about Amy that... You think, you look at her and you, those dead eyes, and you think, you know, there's nothing, you know, the lights are on, but there's no one in. And then it gets worse, you know. She really is really frighteningly dim. So I think even Big Brother fans might be slightly turned off by that. She doesn't seem to have very much spark. You know what I mean? If you take someone like Jay Goody, obviously, you know, a thick girl.
Yep,
she had a lot of spark. She had a lot of energy, and she lightened up the room. You know, she was funny. Amy's not funny. So,
for someone who's made a career out of pouting, she couldn't even follow through on the smiling task, could she? She looked very otherworldly then as well. It was very
sure. And you can see why she uses lots of makeup, because when she doesn't have it on, she's a whole different human being.
Jolly good. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Kevin O'Sullivan.
Cheers, Rob.
I'm very pleased to say that joining us now is Radio 1 DJ Hugh Stevens on a podcast, Talking Telly. Hello, Hugh.
Hello, how very modern.
It is, isn't it, these podcasts? It's like 2004 all over again. So you're presenting Sky Arts One's coverage from Best of All this weekend with Zoe Ball. Which acts are you looking forward to tickling your taste buds on the Isle of Wight?
Well, the best thing about Best of All is you just don't know what you're going to see. So, but from the list I've seen of artists who are playing, I really want to see Brian Wilson. The Beach Boy is a legend, isn't he? I really want to see... it's a lot of good dance music at a Best of All every year. So I want to see Annie Mack's DJ set.
I saw Annie Mack at Latitude. It was quite crazy. How old is she now? 69?
That's Annie Nightingale.
So you can tell I'm obviously a massive music fan.
Annie Nightingale and Annie Mack are both brilliant, mm-hmm. and both dance DJs, mm-hmm. and both female, so I can see where...
I was almost there.
The Cure are playing. I've never seen The Cure before. I know Rob DeBank's been working hard on getting them to play at Best of All for years, so they're some of the people I'm looking forward to seeing.
And you're going to get to chat with all these in a little hut with Zoe Ball.
I know. I've been meeting up with Zoe Ball this morning, actually, just to chat about the weekend. And she's so lovely. I've been a Zoe Ball fan for years. Mm-hmm. So to meet her and to do the show with her on the weekend is going to be really good fun.
Well, you're a very laid-back kind of chap, aren't you, Hugh? Aside from, well, hopefully not, but potentially this one, what's the most dramatic, by dramatic I mean disastrous interview you've ever had?
Oh, well... I wouldn't call it a disaster, but we just didn't understand each other, I don't think. I interviewed a band called Woo Life, who are from Manchester, and they were on Radio 1 recently doing a session. And the session, they're a brilliant, brilliant band, and I think they're going to be around for a long time, and they do things differently, and they're really good. If you haven't checked them out, they're spelled W-U and then L-Y-F. Mm-hmm. And we just didn't get on in the interview. They were in a studio, I was in a different studio, and it was just really awkward.
Just no connection.
They were given no answers. I was asking a lot of questions, but they were just kind of... They thought the interview was something else. They were messing around quite a bit. And so it was just a really awkward interview. The most awkward interview I've ever done.
They sound like a bunch of gits. I mean, that's me saying that, not you.
No, I don't think they are. I think they're just trying to have fun and be different. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that gets misinterpreted, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose it's interesting that they don't have the media training, but then if people can't understand what they're saying, that's...
Yeah, it was a bit awkward.
Okay. So you've got Bjork's going to be at Best of All.
Yes.
You've got 30 seconds with her. What are you going to ask her?
Oh, I love Bjork so much. I interviewed her recently, but it was all about her new album, which she's released as an app on the iPhone. So if I could ask her anything, oh, I don't know, I just want to get inside her head. She's such a creative musician and such a one-off. There's nobody like Bjork, is there anywhere in the world? So I don't know what I'd ask her, really. I'd probably ask her some off-kilter questions and she'd probably come back with some more off-kilter answers.
It'd be an off-kilter off.
Yeah, be all over the shop.
Well, and Zoe obviously did very well on Strictly Come Dancing. I'm sure you're a fan. Do you fancy getting your cha-cha out for the great British public to whoop over at any point?
My girlfriend, my fiance, loves Strictly Come Dancing, so she would probably force me to do it if I was ever asked. I'm not a natural dancer. Although I'd give it a go. I dance at weddings. Mm-hmm. And
is that voluntarily or under the influence of alcohol?
A bit of both. Confidence, weddings is important, I think. So yeah, I dance at weddings, but yeah, I do that. Defo.
What do you have a special move that you could pull out?
I'd do some breakdancing.
Really?
Yeah, I probably could do some breakdancing.
I think that might send Bruce over the edge.
Do the robot.
Sky Otter have been leading the way for festival coverage on the telly all summer, but what do you make of other music programming out there at the moment? There's not really a lot on, is there?
It's not. There's Later with Jules Holland. I presented a series for Channel 4 called Top Man Control Mix earlier this year, and that's pretty much it. I think, you know, everyone says bring back Top of the Pops, which isn't a bad shout at all. I think Elton John randomly has been the biggest kind of champion of bringing back a new music show onto the mainstream television airwaves, which I think is a brilliant idea, because all music starts off new at some point. It just needs a platform to get out there and to get into people's skin and into their psyche. So I think we definitely need a new music show on television.
What about your show? Is there a chance that might come back? Or has Alexa Chung earmarked that for herself in future?
Hopefully. The best thing about my radio shows is I get to play like 30 new pieces of music every week. But the internet's changed television so much. We don't need to sit in front of a channel drip-feeding us videos anymore. We might be sent a link or come across it on Twitter or whatever and follow that up. So it's tricky, but I still think there's room for a mainstream quality programme that takes risks and puts new artists on there.
Like The Proms, for instance.
Like The Proms?
Are you a fan of The Proms at all? Is that?
Not really, no. I know very little about it, so maybe when I'm older.
You have to be very old, almost dead, arguably. but back in the day, were you a Top of the Pops fan or an ITV chart show kind of guy? Or were you one of the lucky ones that had mystical access to MTV?
I didn't have MTV when I was younger, no. I watched Top of the Pops regularly and I loved it. Mm-hmm. So exciting. And what else did I used to watch? I used to watch the Saturday morning chart show on ITV. I remember when The Verve once complained that there were some graphics over there. I think it was Bittersweet Symphony video, and there's a big hoo-ha in the NME. Verve going, how dare they put graphics over our videos? And the chart show's going, we can do what we want, it's our chart show. And now, can you imagine a band complaining about that? It wouldn't happen, wouldn't it?
You can't compromise someone's artistic integrity like that, but like you say, if it was done up in mashup on YouTube, they couldn't do anything, could they?
No, exactly. Times have changed.
Have a bit of a flounce, but apart from that, nothing else. So my next question, well, all I've got written here, actually, is Bill Murray. There's a picture of you with Bill Murray on Twitter. Now, normally I don't give a monkey's about people having the picture taken with celebs, but that's Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, yeah, he's an incredible man, isn't he? I was out in America at a festival called South by Southwest, and we met some people, and they said, come to a house party. And we're like, yeah, this is like being in a film. We'd love to come to a house party. And we went in, and who was dancing in the lounge to Fleetwood Mac but Bill Murray? So I said, like, I never do this, but it's, as you said, it's Bill Murray. So I went up to him and said, Mr. Murray. And he went, it's Dr. Murray. And I'm sorry, Dr. Murray, can we have a photo? Of course. So we had a photo. So my Twitter profile picture is me, Bill Murray, and my friend James at this random house party in Austin, Texas.
That's superb. And did you carry on the social interaction beyond that? Or was that
unfortunately, that was it. He was, you know, apparently he just likes hanging out with people. So he was hanging out with Ghostface Killah and the RZA and just going around from house party to house party. And obviously everywhere he goes, people go, it's Bill Murray coming to our house party. And this town, Austin, is quite a party town, so yeah, everyone was welcoming.
It's the Music Mercury Awards tonight. Always a bit of a telly treat when p***ed up acts get leery. But who's your money on to be a little bit on the lively side?
I think Metronomy will be having a good time. Mm-hmm. I reckon Tiny Temper is going to be looking like the coolest man in the room. Adele likes a party, doesn't she?
She does, but is she going to win?
I don't know who's going to win. I've got a feeling for some reason that Tiny Temper's going to win because he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But just from looking at Twitter this morning, I think PJ Harvey is a lot of people's choice.
She has been the bookie's favourite from the start, hasn't she?
I didn't realise, yeah. I mean, that's the great thing about the Mercurys is 12 albums are plucked, thrust into the spotlight, and everyone's got to discuss which one should win, which one will win, which one deserves to win. You just never know. So I'm just excited.
And will you be going?
I am actually going, which I'm chuffed to bits about, yeah.
Holy star.
So I've got to go and put my suit on in a bit.
Oh, very nice. And finally, if Jed would win Celebrity Big Brother on Friday night, that's a real victory for music, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jed would are artists who we'll be remembering about as some of the true greats in years to come. You know, apparently when Glastonbury's back in 2013, they've been touted as headliners, and I'm disgusted that they weren't nominated for the Mercury this year. So I hope they at least win Celeb Big Brother.
Well, knowing that they're locked up, you know they won't be able to storm the stage tonight. Hugh Stevens, thank you very much. And you can follow Hugh on Twitter at Hugh Stevens. That's H-U-W-S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S. And see him and Joey Ball chatting matters best of all on Sky Arts 1 from 10 p.m. to midnight this Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And for those with those special specs, it'll be on 3D on the Sky 3D channel as well. Thank you, Hugh.
Thanks, Rob.
Please wash your hands with soap. All hail the king of soapland, Tony Stewart. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for that build-up.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So, in Corry this week, Eby Fleming got Stella Gordon knocked over by Gem Joy. It's not very easy, her Mankney accent, is it? But so Tony, is that the end of Stella's twanging voice? Will Tina be taking over behind the bar?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think Stella will probably survive being mowed down by a drunken Carla, even if Frank's taking the blame. I suppose the episodes this week have reminded me very much of the tram crash. You know, so much devastation caused by one runaway car that not only ploughed into Stella, but then ploughed into the bookie's window, and now they've got to investigate to see whether the flat is safe.
They're very flimsy, though, these roads made of cobbles, aren't they?
Cobbles
made of cardboard or something.
Well, the houses seem to be, but of course they are. No, they're not. They're not really. They're all built with bricks and proper glass and wood. Mm-hmm. I've been there, I know.
Exclusive from Tony Stewart.
Yeah, and anybody else who's been to Coronation Street.
But yes, Carla mowed over Stella, but... Yeah. She was half cut, wasn't she, after her very
She was completely cut.
Mm-hmm.
She was blotto. She was, in the vernacular, piddled. Yeah, she was in a bit of a state. She'd had a big row in the bistro with his parents. Mm-hmm. And off she steamed, hopped into the car and then ran over Stella. And, of course, Stella's suffering internal bleeding. Will she regain consciousness and all the rest of it? And, of course, for avid soap fans and those followers of soap gossip will know that this is supposed to be the last chance saloon for Michelle Collins as Stella. I don't actually believe that, to be honest. I think Michelle Collins is an actress of a certain calibre, and it doesn't really matter too much about her accent. I think she gets away with it. It's whether the stories work, whether really people warm to the character.
The punters haven't, though, thus far, have they really?
No, there's probably five that haven't, and that's been blown out of all proportion now. I don't know. It's kind of, she hasn't really, you don't instantly go, oh yeah, she's fantastic. But I think what is good is that Jane Danson, who plays Leanne Battersby, who's her long-lost daughter, is fantastic. And it could have a lot of mileage in terms of the stories that develop for Leanne and Peter, of course. And this is all part of that. And there's much more to come in the following weeks. You know, Frank has taken the blame for this accident. There's also, you know, Jane, Leanne, sorry, Leanne's relationship with Eva the Diva, her half-sister, mm-hmm. and with Stella itself. So there's a hell of a lot going on, but there's a brilliant story coming up involving Carla and Frank. I won't give too much away.
Tony, you tease us too much.
Yeah, but it's fantastic, and it'll happen in a couple of weeks' time.
Jolly good. Okay, now, across the cobbles... now, actually, Tony, credit where it's due. You call Tracy Barlow getting up the spout once again after a second one-night stand with Steve McDonald, and it looks like that might indeed be the case, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's even speculation that she could be having twins this time. So he is, of course, the most fertile man in Soapland. So forget IVF, just ring up Steve McDonald if you want to try a child. But of course, again, this is, you know, all part of her scheming, and it's gonna play out into some good scenes, because Steve, who's always the sort of hapless young lad who, well, not so young these days, actually, the hapless lad who's caught between two women yet again. It is a bit of a rerun of the Karen Tracy story. Baron Karen, as people will remember, his first wife, not his first wife, she was about his third wife,
he's,
I think.
He's had a few, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, Becky couldn't have children after her mishaps, etc. And Tracy, God, she just has to drop her drawers, and she drops a sprog afterwards.
Gosh, what a lovely image. well, rerun or not, Steve McDonald is a quality character. He always does. He interacts with his female leads really well, doesn't he?
He does. I
think he's great.
Fair play then, but I kind of... He reminds me a lot of that idiot bloody Ken Morley, you know, who was...
He doesn't mug half as much.
Well, he kind of gets there sometimes, and you just think, play down the face a bit, Simon, because he is a good actor, he's a popular actor, and he's probably, you know, unheralded for what he's achieved in Coronation Street, but sometimes he mugs it up in a bit, and you do want to just slap his face for him, really.
Okay. Now, talking about EastEnders now, in your interview in this week's We Love Telly magazine with Steve J. Shepherd, he says that he thinks his character Michael Moon is insane. He's not, is he? You know, Mooney seems to be enjoying it far too much for him to be certified.
Well, actually, in a piece I've just written, I kind of describe... He's got a touch of the Archies about him, the Archie Mitchells. Mm-hmm. He's a younger version. He is pretty malevolent, to be honest. And the things that he gets up to... And one of the scenes that happens this week, where he actually threatens to ring Jodie, Vanessa's daughter, and tell her that her mum sells her body, is pretty... It's pretty scary stuff. I think he is mad, actually. I think he's completely bonkers. He's a psycho. I think that he's going to have a shelf life, which is a bit of a shame, because mm-hmm. I think he is just a fantastic character, and I'd say that he is probably the most evil man in soap, and he's got quite a lot of competition for that title. And Steve Shepherd just plays it brilliantly, really brilliantly. But he has. He's got a screw loose, as we say in the business.
He's another really good actor. But, Tony, you haven't been very complimentary about David Essex, have you? You know, you said you don't understand how Carol and Vanessa being attracted to Eddie Moon, how far-fetched it is. Now, I'm sure there's a whole generation of, well, let's face it, old biddies out there who disagree with you.
Yeah, they're probably all in their 60s now that, you know, love David Essex as he was in... years and years and years ago. You know, he was a pin-up and all the rest of it, but I've got to say that I don't think he's really worked in EastEnders.
He's going as well. What's the story behind that? Very swift.
I don't think he's clicked with viewers. I think he's a bit too laid back for his own good. And David Essex as a person is a really nice guy, and I think he comes over as being, well, almost as being really nice. There was that incident where he ripped off Cora for a candlestick. They gave her about £5 and they're worth £8,000. And now they've got that money stashed in the safe, which, of course, Anthony, his son, gambles on this big fight. But and so there's kind of a dark side to the character of Eddie. But I kind of don't really feel that he's kind of come across particularly well. However, if you mention somebody like Nicola Stapleton, who's returned to EastEnders mm-hmm. as Mandy Salter, not Slater, but Salter, or as Phil Mitchell calls her, Mandy Slutter, She's hit the ground running. She is fantastic. She's 37-year-old, going on 20, and she instantly lights up the screen. She's just got so much charisma, and I think probably that's where David Essex's character just doesn't have the charisma.
So you're saying David Essex lacks charisma?
Afraid so.
The keyboard warriors are going to come for you again, aren't they, Tony?
If they do, I'm ready and waiting.
And elsewhere in the square, the agony just doesn't stop for Cat, does it?
It doesn't. You kind of do feel, God, what else are they going to lumber with? And there is a certain irony in that she's on the verge of splitting up with Alfie at the moment. She again loses the baby again. And, of course, in real life, Jesse Wallace's current romantic situation, shall we say, is a little bit turbulent. Mm-hmm. As she's just ditched the man of her dreams at the altar and gone off to Crete for a honeymoon on her own. Which, it's all a bit sad, because I think Jesse Wallace, as I say in the stuff this week, she is just a brilliant actress, absolutely fantastic actress. I think it was the same with the baby swap at New Year and all the rest of it, that when she thought Tommy had died, she just carried the storyline. I mean, even if a lot of people were critical of it, which they were, and they may be critical of the fact that she's now miscarried another child, then, you know, it's her performance that you can't criticise. She is just phenomenal. And I kind of remember when she did The Road to Coronation Street.
Pat Phoenix, brilliant.
Yeah, no criticism about her Northern accent whatsoever.
She was great.
She just carried it off brilliantly. And, I mean, I think that's the difference. You know, Jesse Wallace is an absolute class act. And it's a real shame that her private life isn't as happy as a professional one. You know, you can't help but feel for her, really.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you very much once again for joining us, Tony Stewart.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you for joining me, Rob Lee, on the We Love Telly podcast. Listen again next week. Thank you. Bye. This We Love Telly podcast is a Mirror Digital production.